Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 in St. Paul. This is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman.
This program will inspire you, inform you, feed you healthy recipes, engage you politically, enlighten you spiritually. Help me name it. I'm no longer doubtful of what I'm living for. And if I make you happy, I don't need to do more. Cause you make me feel.
Good evening. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and we're streaming online at kfai.org. And this is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman, and I'm Kinshasha. This evening, we're talking with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, his new book, The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution, The Essential Guide to Overcoming Chronic Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Made Easy. Good evening, Dr. Teitelbaum. How are you?
Doing great. Great to be with you.
You know, I think for most folks, the connection between chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia don't necessarily go together. Can you explain that to us?
It's important to distinguish between day-to-day fatigue, because everybody has that once in a while, where you're tired, but you go on vacation and it goes away. You get dressed, it goes away. Chronic fatigue syndrome is something very different. Think of it more like having the flu all the time. For most people, the fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome are the same thing. In fact, if you go to, I tease that if a person with fibromyalgia goes to the infectious disease doctor, he'll come out with a diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome, and if he walks up and goes next door to the rheumatologist to walk out to the diagnosis of fibromyalgia. The pigeonhole is not important. What's important to understand how you can tell if you have the problems and what's causing it and how to make it go away.
So when you're talking about that, would you start with the chronic fatigue or the fibromyalgia?
Same thing in most people. So what I tell people, look, if you have chronic fatigue, you're tired all the time, or if you have widespread pain, if you ache out and hurt all over, the there's one simple question that needs to be asked. Can you get a good night's sleep? And if your answer is, oh my God, no, I have horrible insomnia, you've got this process. So basically, tired, achy, brain fog, and can't sleep. If that sounds like you, then it doesn't matter what label you want to give it. You have this process, and you can tell because of that paradox of can't sleep even though you're exhausted.
With what you just described, then I would presume that what would go along with that would be depression, because if you can't sleep and you hurt all the time, then I'd certainly be depressed.
But you'll find about 1 out of 8 people will have depression. And it doesn't mean that they're going to be necessarily upbeat and happy, but there's a difference between feeling down and feeling sad versus depressed. And it's a funny thing. There's all these fancy scales to tell if people are depressed. And by the same argument, not everybody with cancer is depressed. Not everybody with multiple sclerosis is depressed. And in fact, most people are not. They may feel angry and frustrated or upset about the illness. So the simplest way to tell if somebody is depressed, and research has shown that this is as effective as any other test, is to simply ask them, are you depressed? And about 1 out of 8 will say yes. But most people will find that they're not depressed. They're frustrated. They're frustrated. They have a lot of interests, but they're frustrated. They have no energy to do them. They feel too sick to do them. People with depression don't have many interests. Important distinction. Metabolically, very different. The blood tests in people with depression versus people with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia are also very, very different.
The people that I know who I believe have fibromyalgia are more concerned with the pain and the achiness in their body every day. It's over and over and over again, and people in their lives are left sympathetic because it's something that never goes away, so you kind of think that they're making it up. What about the pain, Doc?
It's awful. There's many people with pain is so severe that they're on chronic morphine, but the good news is that the pain can go away, and our research has shown this. A couple problems here that's going on. One, since most doctors, or many doctors, it used to be most now, it's gone down to many, are clueless about the disease, they have this bad habit that they say, if I don't know what's wrong with you, you're crazy. And that gets abusive. And after a while, you know, if you go into the doctor with a family member and they've got rheumatoid arthritis and they hurt all over, you feel sympathetic for them. But when the doctor says, I don't know, and starts to imply, well, because of that, mama's crazy. And you go to doctor, and they do that. Now you start thinking, well, maybe mama's just crazy. And in addition to being in chronic pain, you don't get the social support, and it becomes emotionally devastating. But what you need to know about pain is not an outside attack on your body. Pain is just part of the monitoring system inside our body. It's kind of like on your car's dashboard, you have all these different lights, and you know, one red flashing light may say the oil is low. And we know that if the oil light goes off, it's annoying. It's meant to be annoying. It wants to get your attention. So if you go to the doctor, what would the doctor do? They'd put a Band-Aid over the oil light and say, is that better now? You go, yeah, okay, that's not so annoying. And then the motor burns out down the road. It's the same with pain. Pain is your body's way of saying something needs attention. And when you give your body what it needs, the pain goes away. Just like if you put oil on the car, the oil light goes out. But in medicine, we mask it with things like ibuprofen and medications in that family that kill estimated over 30,000 people each year instead of simply giving the body what it needs to make the pain go away and to get energy back, because both of those are reflections of an energy crisis in the body. When the body is not able to make enough energy, they're going to be tired. But muscles are like springs. It takes more energy to stretch them. And when they don't have energy, they spring back into the shortened position where they're tight. And when they're tight for a couple months or years, they hurt. And then the chronic pain causes brain pain. If you give energy to the body with what we call SHINE, S-H-I-N-E, sleep, hormonal support, infections, nutrition, and exercise, our research has shown that pain goes down by 50% at 99 days on average, and quality of life goes up an average of 91% in people with fibro. So the pain is very treatable. And then we'll give the right medications. There are many herbals that are helpful for pain, natural things for pain. But you need to know which ones work and which ones don't. And that's what makes all the difference.
In case you're just tuning in, we are talking about the book, The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution. Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum is our guest this evening. So I'm listening to this conversation, Doctor, and I've had this problem for years, and I heard what you said in terms of shine and sleep, hormonal support, infections, nutrition, and exercise. And what I want is something right now to make the pain go away, and then I'll look at those things. Is that possible? Is that doable?
Absolutely. So a couple of things. For people, and the book is not only for people with chronic fatigue, but also day-to-day fatigue, anybody who would like an energy tune-up. In terms of pain management, there's some medications, Ultram, Neurontin are two of the best ones, I think, in my opinion. They're cheap, so doctors don't hear as much about them as the three expensive ones.
So doctor,
remedies.
Can you say that one more time, a little slower?
When it comes to getting rid of pain, there are many medications that work and many that don't. The medications that work would be Ultram, Neurontin, Lyrica, Cymbalta, and Savella. You can add Scalaxin to that. So those are the six most helpful medications when it comes to fibromyalgia pain. There are herbal mixes that are very, very helpful for pain in general. My favorite two, one would be called End Pain, which is a mix of willow bark, boswellia, and cherry. And the other one, which is a pain relief miracle, is called Curamin, C-U-R-A-M-I-N. Both of those can be found in most health food stores or can be found online at endfatigue.com. The pain medications and the herbals can be combined as needed to get people excellent pain relief with a minimum of side effects. So I like to start with the natural things first and then to go ahead and add in the medications as needed. So while you're putting oil in the car, so to speak, so the oil light goes off, it's never okay to leave somebody in pain, in chronic pain. It simply is not. It seems some doctors have the motto that all pain is tolerable as long as I don't have it. You know, if it's the other person in pain, well, just deal with it. It really gets pretty sad sometimes. The pain can be gotten rid of. Interestingly, even for people with severe pain, there are studies of people who have been on high-dose morphine, like 1,500 milligrams or 2,000 milligrams of morphine equivalent a day for their severe chronic pain. And if you give them a simple hormone called HCG, the studies are showing that decreases the amount of morphine they need by 30%, increases pain relief dramatically. So there's so many things. I've treated thousands of people with severe chronic pain, often who have been to multiple pain specialists, and I can count on my fingers how many people I've not been able to get pain relief for, a good solid pain relief. So you never need to be in chronic pain.
My pain is manageable now by virtue of this important wisdom that you shared in terms of natural painkillers and pharmaceutical killers. What's my first step, Doc?
Well, for those, an easy way to get started, let me give a shameless plug, get the book and read it. It's really meant to be a really easy book. By the time you're done with the book, you will have tailored a treatment protocol to your case. There's a treatment checklist, and as you go along, it'll have simple quizzes, and depending on those, you'll check off different things. So when you're done, you will have a protocol tailored to your case. But there's also, on our website at endfatigue.com, there's a free energy analysis program. It's a series of quizzes you take for those who have, if you have pertinent lab tests, they're not critical, but you can add those results in as well. It'll analyze all of that and tell people exactly what they need to do to optimize energy. Whether they have day-to-day fatigue or they have chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. So the energy analysis program is a nice, simple, and it's free. We're deciding what to charge, and my wife and I just said, that's a gift to the public. It's free. Hmm. And that way, because I can't treat everybody one-on-one. I mean, I see people from all over the world in person and by phone consultation. My new patient visits are 4 hours, and not everybody can do that. So the energy analysis program is a way of making effective treatment available for everybody. Think of it as my hobby, is how do you get effective treatment for 50 million people for an illness that's difficult, complex, and doctors are not willing to take the time to learn. We made actually a computerized doctor. I hold a U.S. patent
Wow.
for a computerized doctor, and the energy analysis program is an offshoot of that.
So what is it about this particular ailment? Why do doctors shy away from this?
It's complex, and there's no single blood test that will that is diagnostic for it. So for diabetes, if you wonder if there's diabetes, you check the blood sugar. It's going to be elevated. If it's elevated, you know they have diabetes. Blood pressure, same thing. Blood pressure's high, you know they have higher blood pressure. But there's no one test that's only positive in fibromyalgia. There are numerous abnormal tests, but some of them may be abnormal in other illnesses as well. It's a multisystem disease. What you have is an energy crisis where people have blown a fuse. Basically, a major control center in the brain called the hypothalamus malfunctions in the face of not having enough energy. And it controls sleep. It controls your entire hormone system. So it's not just one thing, but you'll have 5, 6, 7 different hormones that are off. It controls immunity, so you can have widespread numerous infections, but not picked up on standard testing, just in research lab testing. People have pain, but the x-rays are normal. It's too complex to do in the standard 6-minute doctor visit, and there's no specific test. And another major reason why doctors don't treat it seriously, and we've seen this in the past, is that it's a disease that affects predominantly women. And if you look at the medical word hysteria, it'll give you an idea of the medicine's approach to hysteria. And hysteria comes from the word hystero, which means uterus. So we've seen it before. Multiple sclerosis used to be called hysterical paralysis. Lupus used to be considered just neurotic women. Rheumatoid arthritis, the same thing. And fibromyalgia, all of these are diseases of women where in the beginning there's no reliable test. And then when the reliable test came out, then suddenly millions of women go from being neurotic to being seriously ill. And it's really a medical disaster in the way we carry that prejudice.
Ready to let go of that car you no longer need, KFAI is ready for you. Our vehicle donation program is available 7 days a week to help you arrange for your free pickup. It's easy, it's free, and it matters. Donate at kfai.careasy.org or call 855-277-2346.
Support for KFAI comes in part from The Dakota. The Dakota and Bruce A. Henry present Hand and Hearts for the Arts, a benefit for Team Michael Rambo, Thursday, June 11th. Hand and Hearts for the Arts is an initiative that provides support for artists when they need it most. Bruce Henry hosts a variety of performers to benefit actor and singer T. Michael Rambo. More information about Hand and Hearts for the Arts, a benefit for T. Michael Rambo, is available at dakotacooks.com.
We're talking about the new book, The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution. Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum is our guest this evening. Doctor, where does diet fit into this conversation?
Diet is a foundation of good health. Diet and following your bliss, those are the two biggies. The key problems, if you have these problems, if you have fatigue in general, you need to cut back sugar. And I'll add the three magic words, except for chocolate. I consider chocolate a health food in moderation. You need to increase water and you need to increase salt. If you try to salt restrict when you have fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome, you will crash and burn. So in most people, they need to increase their salt, not decrease it. Get a good quality sea salt or at least an iodized salt. In addition, try to get foods that are whole foods when it's convenient to do so. If you're out and about and bringing bread, reach for the whole wheat one. Get a whole grain cereal instead of this caca that's white flour and sugar bombs. You know, that's nasty. But it doesn't mean everything has to be whole wheat. It's hard to find a whole wheat pizza that tastes worth a darn. So when possible, get the whole foods, get the whole vegetables, even in moderation, the whole fruits, not juices. 16 ounces of juices of orange juice has 12 spoons of sugar. So if you want the juice, go for the vegetable juices. Basically, cutting back sugar, increasing whole foods, increasing salt, increasing water. And most people find that a high-protein, low-carbohydrate diet will leave them feeling best. But at the end of the day, see what works for you. What leaves you feeling best overall is a diet that's working best for you, because it's not one size fits all.
You talk about the mind-body connection. Help us to understand that.
We're people. We're a combination of our emotions, of our feelings, of our biology, of our biochemistry, of our anatomy, and of our personal spirituality, whatever that means to each individual. All of these things play together in illness, and there are very few illnesses that aren't a mix of all of these. So if you look at people with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, what's the psychodynamic? We know for people with heart attacks, it's increased rage, it's increased anger, frustration, these kind of things, we'll see, we'll have a 300% increased risk of heart attack. But that doesn't mean if somebody comes with a crushing chest pain to the emergency room, you go, oh, just relax, meditate, do some yoga, you know, you put them on the intensive care unit, then you go after the mind-body issues. In chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, which are an energy crisis, where you basically blow a fuse. Think of a recipe for that. It's people who had low self-esteem as a child, who are overachievers trying to seek approval from somebody who is just not going to give it. They take care of all people, everybody except one person, themselves. And there's one word that they really have trouble saying, and that word is no. So when you have the chairwoman of the Committee of 1,000 Ways to Waste Everybody's Time is walking down the street hunting for people to serve on the committee, and you see everybody dashing into the side streets, the person with CFS and fibromyalgia, they're the one like standing there like a deer in the headlights. And, you know, and the chairwoman comes up and says, but we need you to take on this major thing that's a waste of everybody's time and yours. And if you don't do it, who will? And everybody else has run away. And the person's gut is going, no, and the mouth is going, okay. That's somebody who's got chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia who's going to blow a fuse because they can't set proper boundaries by saying no. So a big part of getting well is when people get well, if they get well so they go back to the job that made them sick in the first place, they're going to blow a fuse again. So as people get well, they need to find the things that feel good. Pay attention to those. Spend more time on those. Use me as an excuse to say no. Well, the doctor said if I say yes to one more thing, he'd wring my neck. So I would love to serve on your committee to waste everybody's time, but the doctor said no. Bye. And run. You know, get rid of the things in your life that you don't enjoy that you think you should be doing. Should do this. Should do that. Should do the other. A friend of mine called it shooting on yourself. You know, cut those loose. If you're not going to get fired or lose your home for not doing those or arrested, let them go.
What kind of exercise is optimal for people who suffer from these problems?
Well, as for most people, I think going for a walk in the sunshine. And walking is good exercise in general. Now, most people have enough energy to condition. In fibromyalgia, there's a limited amount of energy they have. So if they push too far, the person will crash and feel basically bedbound for the next day or two. So find a level of walking that's comfortable and keep increasing it by a minute every day or two until you find what's comfortable. If you feel good tired after, better the next day, that's good. But if you feel wiped out the next day, cut it back and use a bit of a lower level. After about 9 to 10 weeks on the SHINE protocol, people with or without chronic fatigue will find that their energy will be skyrocketing. And then they can increase their walking further by another minute every day or two. When they're up to an hour, they can go ahead and start increasing intensity, biking, rowing. Really, the key is to do an exercise that feels good, so you'll stick with it. But I recommend people get out in the sunshine. We've had some really crazy medical myths that have come up. I've seen it just in my 35 years as a physician. I still remember when doctors, AMA doctors, were on the TV saying, smoke these cigarettes, this brand's the healthiest for you, because the AMA was on the payroll of the drug companies, before it was the tobacco lobby, until they finally got too embarrassed to keep taking money and having doctors telling people to smoke. Then they shifted to telling people, don't breastfeed, it's barbaric. And now we have them saying, oh, avoid sunshine, dip in sunscreen. That's causing tens of thousands of deaths each year from vitamin D deficiency. So avoid sunburn, not sunshine. Go for a walk in the sunshine and go do something that's fun. If it's fun, you'll stick with it.
Are there some of us that need to find a physician to help us with a new protocol as it relates to this problem?
There's a lot that people can do on their own, but it's helpful to have a physician to help. And actually today we're launching the Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Practitioners Network. I will be training 500 practitioners in the upcoming 30 months. That's my goal, in how to effectively treat CFS and fibromyalgia, and training people all around the world. You know, stay tuned. The endfatigue.com website has a practitioner finder where people can go now, but also some people prefer to go to the person who developed it. And as I said, we do take care of people from all over the world. Most of them, I live in Hawaii, so most people prefer a phone consult. And some say, no, it's winter and I really need to go to Hawaii in person for the visit, so come on over. For these illnesses, is to find a holistic physician. They're the ones that are willing to treat the person and not just the blood tests.
What about weight loss? Where does that fit in this conversation?
Well, two studies in our research center showed an average 32.5-pound weight gain in fibromyalgia because the metabolism goes down, so you're not burning the calories. And what you'll find is once you treat, it's a funny thing. People don't realize if you don't get enough sleep, you're going to gain weight. There's an average 6.5-pound weight gain in people who don't get enough sleep versus those that do, a 30% higher risk of obesity, because we make hormones during sleep that turn fat into muscle, such as growth hormone, and decrease appetite, such as leptin. Also, treating thyroid, because most people who need thyroid hormone actually have technically normal blood tests. The doctor doesn't understand what normal means. When you look at the normal range, what you have is they take 100 people, and the highest and lowest 2.5% are the abnormal, and the 95% in the middle of the normal range. So if I want a normal range of shoe sizes, I go to the local mall, take the next 100 people who came by, check their shoe sizes, and they'd get a normal range of, say, 4 to 13. If there are a couple toddlers in there, it might be 2 to 13. And a couple Texans walk by, it could be 2 to 15. If I put you in my size 13 shoe, and I put on your size 8 shoe, and we both go to the doctor's going to, I can say, my toe doesn't go in the thing, and the doctor will say, it's smack dab in the normal range, Jacob. There's nothing wrong with your shoe. And now you're with my size 13 flopping off your foot. And I say, nope, honey, it's in the normal range. There's nothing wrong with your shoe. And that's what's happening with thyroid testing. Most people who need thyroid hormone have technically normal tests. But the way you tell if you need thyroid, if you're tired, achy, weight gain, cold intolerant, you need a trial of thyroid hormone, regardless of the blood test result. And same with many of the other things. So you treat the adrenal. All these things will help metabolism boost, then being able to exercise as well. And all of that helps the weight to start finally being able to come down.
For most of us, we think that the solution in terms of the thyroid is iodine?
Well, for many people, we're seeing an iodine deficiency again, and thyroid hormone is made of iodine. We used to have an iodine epidemic. That's why they mandated putting iodine in salt. But most of the salt that people get is in processed food and has no iodine. And we've lost 50% of our iodine intake over the last 30-some years. So we're seeing iodine deficiency coming back again. There's a simple product called Tri-Iodine. You can get it at your health food store. I just get the 6 1/4 milligram dose. And for a lot of people with chronic fatigue, just taking that for 3 months will fill their tank as far as their iodine needs and will help their energy go up quite a bit. But I also like to give thyroid hormone, the bioidentical natural thyroid hormone by prescription, to those people who symptomatically and clinically suggest that it's warranted. With the hormones, it's a good idea to go with bioidentical. The reason that people would go with the other hormones is because they're patentable and therefore profitable. But in terms of the science and safety, using the synthetic hormones have been shown to be incredibly toxic, much less reliable, albeit more profitable. So that's what your doctor will hear about.
What an impressive conversation. Any last words for us before we end this conversation?
As you feel better, use the energy for things that feel good. And in general in life, keep shifting your attention to things that feel good. Letting the things that you've outgrown fall away, let somebody else who's growing into that take those up. But if you're living a life doing stuff you hate, don't expect your body to support you by giving you energy. But if you're focusing on things you love, if you're following your bliss, body's going to free up the energy, and you are going to have a life that feels great.
And the website that we can go to is
End Fatigue, E, and like Nancy, D like David, the word end, fatigue.com.
Fantastic. Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution, the essential guide to overcoming chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, made easy. Thank you so much, sir, for your work. Appreciate it a lot.
Have you ever stopped to wonder why children do not concern themselves with all the problems in the world? They seem totally willing to believe that somehow, some way, everything will be fine. And somehow for them, it is. Children do not have philosophical ideas, political positions, or principles to uphold. They know what they know. They accept, and they never try to convince you that what they know is real. Children ask for what they want. They refuse to take no for an answer. And they know that if you say no, Grandma usually says yes. Children will try anything once. They will go anywhere that looks safe. They are not hung up on styles or profiles, positions or postures, power or powerlessness. Yet we believe children don't know, can't do, shouldn't have, can't be, won't make it without us. Isn't it a shame we don't remember as adults that we are always children of God? Affirmation. Today I am a child again. That comes from the book Acts of Faith. Iyanla Vansan.
Thank you. Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting Derya Yildirim and Group Shimshek, Thursday, June 11th. Derya Yildirim and Group Shimshek combine Anatolian folk music with psychedelia, pop, and soul influences to create a sound that they call Outer National. They're touring with their latest release, Yarin Yoksa, an album that keeps the ancient Turkish folk music at its core, but expands it to create a sound that's inclusive, yet beyond borders. More information about Derya Yildirim and Group Shimshek live at the Cedar is available at thecedar.org.
What are the benefits of beet juice? Many people are familiar with the red beet root. Did you know that this common produce market vegetable contains some pretty potent nutritional components you might not know about? The beetroot is a superfood veggie, very beneficial for lowering blood pressure, increasing athletic performance, purifying the bloodstream, improving cardiovascular health, and reducing inflammation in the body. You can eat raw beets, and there is also some nutrition in cooked beets. But it's actually the raw pressed beetroot juice, the extracted juiced liquid, that produces the greatest health-enhancing effects. When vegetables are juiced, they are 10 times more nutrient-rich because their nutritive compounds are highly concentrated. As a result, this bright red juice contains substantial amounts of antioxidants, naturally occurring nitrates, betaine, and iron, all super healthy ingredients that beets are particularly high in. From the Middle Ages, beetroot was used as a treatment for a variety of conditions, especially illnesses relating to digestion and the blood. The benefits of beet juice. Beets and the blood helps to lower blood pressure. There is no food closer to the color of the blood than the juice of a beet. And as it turns out, beets are an exceptionally great food for an overall healthy bloodstream. According to a study in the American Heart Association's journal called Hypertension, drinking a cup of beetroot juice daily may help lower blood pressure. Participants who consume this amount daily experienced an average 10-point decrease in their blood pressure levels over a 24-hour period. This sparked the new phrase in health headlines, a cup of beet juice a day keeps the doctor away. High blood pressure, directly linked to cardiovascular disease and strokes, affects more than 77 million adults in the U.S. The benefits of beet juice and its nitrate content may be an easy dietary adjunct for many Americans. Beetroot is high in nitrates. When some people hear the word nitrate, they think of the chemical preservative sodium nitrate, a known carcinogen often found in hot dogs, bacon, or lunch meat. Beets are naturally high in nitrates. However, these substances are quite different than synthetic nitrates. They are plant-based elements that have favorable rather than harmful effects when ingested. In fact, the phytonitrates in beetroot juice when consumed are one of the known benefits that play a significant role in reducing and maintaining blood pressure levels. Your body converts nitrate into nitric acid in the blood, which helps to open up the blood vessels and normalize blood flow. There are other dietary nitrate-rich foods to consider, as well as beet juice. Dietary nitrates are also abundant in green leafy vegetables, so you want to juice your beet greens as well as the root. In fact, mixing your green juicing veggies with beets is a great way to cut the sometimes intensely sweet, rooty flavor of the red beet. As we mentioned, for maximum benefits and therapeutic use, it is best to drink the juice rather than eat the beet. You simply get more concentrated phytonutrients that can help to reduce hypertension and its related conditions. We advocate the use of beetroot juice to achieve this goal, along with a health-promoting diet and exercise regimen. Beet juice often has an energizing effect on the body, which may be helpful to get yourself to the gym or motivated to do a light cardio workout. Nitrates in beet juice boost athletic performance. The nitrate content in beet juice has been shown to be very helpful for athletes, allowing the body to recuperate better from physical activity by increasing the amount of oxygen and blood flow to the muscles, heart, and brain. This helps to also improve stamina, cardiovascular endurance, as well as enable faster recovery. There are a number of studies regarding beet juice intake and athletic performance. One of them was done by Dr. Andrew Jones, head of sport and health science at the University of Exeter in England, who successfully demonstrated significant improvement in high-intensity training with a group of sports rowing crew athletes. Another study conducted showed positive response to using varying amounts of beetroot juice within an exercise regime. It was concluded that these findings have important implications for the use of beetroot to enhance cardiovascular health and exercise performance in young adults. Betaine, one of the benefits of beet juice. Beets are especially rich in a micronutrient called betaine or trimethylglycine. Betaines are helpful for the elimination of toxins and the reduction of the amino acid homocysteine linked to improved heart health. Betaine has been documented by the University of Maryland to help in the decrease of high homocysteine levels. High amounts of homocysteine can damage red blood vessels, causing strokes, blood clots, atherosclerosis, and heart disease. Betaine functions very closely with the group of methyl donors, choline, vitamin B12, folic acid, and the amino acid methionine. A methyl donor is simply any substance that can transfer a methyl group, a carbon atom attached to three hydrogen atoms, to another substance. Many important biochemical processes rely on methylation, including the metabolism of lipids and DNA. Scientists suspect that adequate methylation of DNA can prevent the expression of harmful genes, such as cancer genes. It's quite likely that our body's ability to methylate declines with age, contributing to the aging process, and therefore supplementation could well be beneficial. Dr. Ray Sahelian. According to the National Cancer Institute, methyl donors have been linked to decreased risk of breast, colon, and pancreatic cancer. Studies published by the American Journal of Epidemiology and the American Journal of Nutrition suggest diet rich in these micronutrients may help you avoid cancer plus many other health problems. Beets may help beat colon cancer. The pigment beta-cyanin, a type of betalain, is one of the well-known benefits of beet juice and is what helps give beets their deep red color. It is actually this antioxidant that acts as a primary cancer-fighting agent, shown to be particularly successful at preventing colon cancers. Likewise, beetroot juice naturally increases the quantity of CD8 cells present in the colon. These cells are known to protect against and destroy cancerous growths. Dr. Mikhail Tombak, a Russian longevity scholar, concluded that the benefits of beet juice do indeed seem to prevent diseases of the digestive system and large intestine specifically. He also found in his studies that beets help to break up calcified stones in the bladder and kidneys. It was discovered in the 1950s by a Hungarian doctor named Dr. Ferenczi that a quart of juice a day as therapy for his cancer patients efficiently eradicated cancerous tumors much the same way they dissolved kidney stones. Purifies blood, detoxifies liver. One of the major benefits of beet juice is that it contains the mentioned group of powerful antioxidant pigments called betalains. These are components that help to boost the immune system, but also act as anti-inflammatories, antifungals, and detoxification aids. The betalains in raw beet juice are one of the best blood purifiers, cleaning the bloodstream and helping the liver do its job more effectively. We recommend juicing beets during a yearly or bi-yearly juice cleanse or juice fast to help detoxify and rebuild healthy blood cells. We are all exposed to toxins in our everyday environment. The benefits of beet juice can greatly assist in the process of detoxification from harmful pollutants, heavy metals, and chemicals in the air we breathe, the food we eat, and the water we drink. Beetroot juice along with schizandra and milk thistle seed can be especially supportive for those with hepatitis or stagnation in the liver organ. Increases glutathione and lowers cholesterol. Beets, and especially the juice from beets, also helps to detoxify the body via an increase in glutathione production. Glutathione is a master molecule that binds with toxins and pollutants that enter the bloodstream and eliminates them through the bowels. The juice is also helpful in reducing the bad cholesterol and triglycerides, which restrict blood flow and movement around the body. It is also known to substantially increase HDL, the good cholesterol. All of these factors help to protect against arteriosclerosis and heart disease. Vitamin C and folic acid. Beets also boost the immune system because they contain significant amounts of vitamin C. In addition, they are particularly known for their high amounts of folic acid and are therefore recommended for pregnant women for proper spinal cord development of the baby. Folic acid also helps to manufacture red blood cells. High in iron and carotenoids. Because of the high amounts of iron in beets, eating or drinking their juice helps to replenish this nutrient. People with low amounts of iron often feel their energy levels heighten with the regular consumption of beet juice, which helps to prevent anemia. Many women tend to crave beets during menstruation to help replenish the iron levels. The iron molecule is an important component of hemoglobin and is what binds to oxygen. If we have adequate amounts of iron in the bloodstream, the air we breathe can efficiently be transported throughout the body. Raw beets contain the carotenoid lutein and zeaxanthin, which are extremely beneficial for the retina of the eye and assist in protecting the skin. The benefits of beet juice: helps with inflammation, increases blood flow, provides energy, good for anemia, beneficial for reducing high homocysteine levels, good for eyesight and the skin, helps maintain a healthy colon, increases supply of oxygen to the brain and body, good for endurance exercise and recovery, strengthens the immune system, increases glutathione, purifies the blood and liver. How to juice beets. Beets can be juiced, of course, in a juicer, but they can also be blended in a blender and squeezed through a nut milk bag or fine mesh strainer. Be aware that the juice is like a natural dye and can stain chopping boards or kitchen appliances if not immediately washed in hot soapy water. It is always best to make your own beet juice as opposed to buying it pre-made. Fresh juice is packed with enzymes and all the micronutrients you want to consume. No packaged product really compares, in our opinion. Therapeutic dose, 1 to 2 cups per day. We don't really mind drinking straight beet juice and love the flavor. But because it is quite sweet and earthy tasting, some people don't prefer to drink it straight. And really, there is no reason why you have to. You can combine the liquid in many juicing recipes that taste quite delicious. We have a nice beet juice recipe that we have posted below this video. Raw, cooked, powdered, or juiced beets. Beets lose their health benefits significantly when cooked or steamed. Juicing the raw beetroot is the best way to get the highest health benefits. Eating raw beets is also recommended, although not nearly as concentrated. The quantity of beets and fiber you would have to consume to get the same benefits of beet juice far exceed any small amount of beets you could eat in one serving. They are still great to include on salads or in various raw food recipes. One of our favorite side salads is grated carrot, grated beetroot, and chopped parsley. There are powdered beet juice extracts and beet powders on the market today that offer an alternative to drinking the juice. The powder may be more convenient for some people to use and add to beverages. Precaution: always consult your physician if you are taking prescription medications for high blood pressure. Avoid beet juice if you have candida overgrowth, as it is too high in sugar content.
Do you have a sweet tooth? Yet are you trying to lay off the sugars? That's not always easy to do. Research published in the journal Diabetes Care in 2003 suggests a sweet spice might be just what the doctor ordered for people with type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. The incidence of cardiovascular disease increases 2 to 4-fold in people with type 2 diabetes. There is no doubt that the cause of type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease is multifactorial. However, diet definitely plays a major role. It is known that treatment and prevention of these diseases are heavily based on dietary and physical activity components. Research and data suggest spices such as cinnamon, cloves, bay leaves, and turmeric display benefits in controlling type 2 diabetes. Studies on rabbits have found that supplementing their diet with fenugreek decreased their total cholesterol levels. Rat studies have shown positive effects on bad cholesterol when they are given curry leaf and mustard seeds. A human-based research on cinnamon was done to see whether there is a dose response of cinnamon associated with type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. The study was conducted using a total of 60 people with type 2 diabetes. 30 were men and 30 were women within a similar age group, similar duration of diabetes, and similar severity of the disease. The subjects were divided into placebo and cinnamon groups. They further divided the subjects into three cinnamon amount groups. They were 1 gram of cinnamon per day, 3 grams of cinnamon per day, and 6 grams of cinnamon per day groups. They did not change any of the medications the subjects were taking during the study. They found that all of the subjects taking cinnamon had a reduction of blood sugars, triglycerides, LDL cholesterol, and total cholesterol. It was not clear if taking less than 1 gram a day would have any benefit. Benefits in reduced blood sugar levels were seen after just 20 days in the 6 grams a day group. Reduction in triglycerides was seen after 40 days in all groups, but the 6 gram group saw results after just 20 days. After 40 days, triglycerides were reduced by 23 to 30% in all groups. This indicates that long-term cinnamon consumption has a greater effect than short-term use. Decreases in total cholesterol were similar at 20 and 40 days. The reduction of LDL cholesterol was seen in the 3 and 6 grams per day groups. LDL reduction in the 1 gram group was seen only after 60 days. The mechanism of how this works is not understood completely. Extracts of cinnamon has also shown to be a powerful antioxidant, which would lead to additional health benefits beyond lowering risk factors for heart disease and diabetes. There was also information from the study that suggests the health benefits are sustained even after consumption was stopped. This is indicating that cinnamon consumption would not have to be done daily. In conclusion, the authors suggest that with this information, that those with type 2 diabetes, elevated LDL cholesterol, elevated triglycerides, or total cholesterol may benefit from regular inclusion of cinnamon in their daily diet. They also suggest that cinnamon may benefit the remainder of the population in preventing these diseases. It is important to note that this does not mean you should be out buying sticky cinnamon rolls every morning, but that cooking or supplementing with real cinnamon could be a very healthy habit. This has been a Health Note by Dr. Jonathan Arnold of Arnold Chiropractic and Acupuncture.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM.